This is the bottom line.
ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. Bottom line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Good morning. Thank you for joining us on this 4th of July Saturday weekend. By the way, why didn't somebody tell me that the Bluegrass 10,000 was on the 3rd this year? Isn't it usually on the 4th? I'm trying to drive into the studios here this morning, and I rerouted about 25 times. Not only did it take forever for me to get to these studios this morning, watching that race and driving by that race, I saw more cheaters in that race this morning than in an Eastern Kentucky University organic chemistry class in 1990. Believe me, I was there. All kinds of people getting out of their cars with their little numbers on their shirts and starting running like they've been running for miles already. Why don't you just get the little spray bottle and spray a little water on you, make it look like that you're sweating too. I was shocked that the people still do that today. It reminded me, though, of one of my favorite all-time sports figures, Rosie Ruiz. If you've heard of her, you know that she's a classic, to say the least. Rosie Ruiz was a marathon runner, allegedly. She ran the Boston Marathon in 1980 just so she would have an excuse to skip work that day. But she knew she had to finish the race to prove to her employers that she actually ran the race. So she starts the race, gets on a subway for about 25 miles, then mingles her way back into the race. Unbeknownst to her, she didn't wait long enough. She wound up being the first woman to cross the finish line, winning the race for the female category. Vegas probably didn't have odds on her either. But the video shows her in the last few yards acting so tired after running those alleged 26 miles. Oh, but you can see the little fat cellulite just kind of run off her legs. So you can tell she's not a marathon runner. She's got little love handles around her waist. She crosses the finish line, and everyone congratulates Rosie Ruiz. And at that moment, she realized she'd gone a little bit too far. So a lesson to you kids out there, if you're going to cheat, don't make it obvious. For instance, don't get a perfect score on that test you're cheating on. Get like a 92%. It keeps the attention off of you. Spoken from a man who's been around the block. But anyway, Rosie Ruiz and her legs that could tell you they were a little chubby, the third shortest marathon time in history for a woman. And nobody had ever heard of her when she was interviewed after the race. Rosie Ruiz didn't even know what an interval or an intermediate time was. 8 days later, stripped of her title. Of course, she never raced again. What a shocker. 2 years later, I know I'm going off on this Rosie Ruiz thing, but I loved it. This is one of my favorite all-time people. 2 years later, Rosie Ruiz, who won the Boston Marathon in 1980, allegedly, arrested for embezzling $60,000 from the company she worked for. There's a shocker for you. Then after she was released from that scandal, she was arrested again for a cocaine deal in Florida. Rosie Ruiz, I looked this up, she passed away of cancer in 2019 at the age of 66, but she maintained until the day she died that she did not cheat in winning that race. We always talk about people in sports that we like, and we love people who are bitter to the end. And believe me, holding on to that lie for 40 years, absolutely bitter to the end, if you've ever seen it. So two lessons to be learned in these marathon races you're going to see all through the 4th of July holiday. Two lessons from Rosie Ruiz. If you're going to cheat, don't stand out. And if you're going to lie about cheating, never, ever give in unless they have video evidence. Because in this world today, everybody's got a camera now. So unless you can see it on a video screen, it didn't happen. So keep the lie going until you die. Life lessons for one of our favorite sports figures of all time, alleged 1980 Boston Marathon champion Rosie Ruiz. May she rest in peace. Look her up, kids. She's a fascinating story, but I saw a bunch of Rosie Ruiz's out running the Bluegrass 10K this morning. You know who you are out there. There's video everywhere now. I hope the powers that be check the video of these Rosie Ruiz wannabes and get off my lawn while you're at it. Forgive me for that little diatribe. It was a rough morning getting to the studios and driving in. 859-381-1313 if you'd like to call and join in on the conversation. If you're sick of Rosie Ruiz types in these marathons too, call us. You can email the show, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter, bottomlinelex. On today's show, I'm going to be honest with you, mainly due to the fact that this marathon happened. We had a guest lined up later for the show. They canceled on me last minute. So it's just you and me today. So feel free to give us a call if you like, 859-381-1313. If you've ever thought about calling into this show, here's your chance. The NBA Finals might be set after tonight. We'll discuss down in the ATL, the NBA playoffs continuing. And if you're a chalk pusher who likes to take nothing but favorites, boy, have we found a wager for you this weekend. And it's now July, so college football is around the corner. And the week one lines are out for the SEC games for the first week of the season. How can you make money on these SEC cupcake games? And how do we actually make money off Kentucky football? We will have the answers to these in our first edition of this year's College of Football Handicapping Knowledge. See what I did there? College of Knowledge. And of course, the most profitable segment in Lexington Radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks, presented by Jake Cigar Bar. All that and much, much more coming up on this week's Saturday edition of The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. We thank you for listening as always. But first, midterm grades. You ever hear people talk about midterms in college? You know, they go, and you get your midterm exams and you get report cards. Remember back in school, we had to get report cards signed by our parents, either if they were great or if they were bad. And when I got bad conduct reports for being a loudmouth, my mom had to sign them. That was not a good feeling. She's forgiven me, thankfully, for those transgressions from many years ago. But report cards, midterms, we look at the Reds now. The Reds, last night, they played game number 81 of 162. Those of you math challenged, that's exactly half the season. So, of course, it's time for the Reds' midseason report card here on the Bottom Line. Of course, we do things a little differently on this show. We look at things from the real-world perspective, but also a handicapping perspective. We're trying to see what's going on out in the desert as well. Maybe not just what everybody sees on TV, people who are trying to cash tickets. Of course, the biggest thing that the Reds have going for them this year is the emergence of two superstars, Jesse Winker, Nick Castellanos. Castellanos, as of this morning, leads the major leagues, batting average, hits, doubles, total bases. Nobody in the majors has more than that. Ohtani from the Angels, yes, he hit number 30 last night, 30 home runs. Has he been more valuable than Castellanos? Yes, he has, because he pitches and he does, you know, 30 home runs and 30 home runs. Castellanos, though, not really getting the publicity that he's having such a great season, other than the fact he's an All-Star Game starter. We'll get to that in just a second. But the start for Castellanos, not bad for a guy who hit .225 in his COVID season of 2020. So you have to figure, oh, man, he's found a home here. Oh, Castellanos is so happy, and the Reds are so happy with him. But as we discussed last week, Castellanos can opt out of his $16 million contract, $16 million a year contract for the next 2 years. He can opt out after any season he wants. You don't think after a season like this one, where he's one of the best hitters in all of the major leagues, you don't think after this season Castellanos will opt out and try to find more money elsewhere, because he definitely can? Or are you one of those people that thinks, oh, he's found a home here in Cincinnati, and he's happy to be here? And any of those other corny cliches. You know, you hear the same cliches that the Big Blue Nation uses when a basketball player is thinking about turning pro. Oh, he'd be so much better off if he stayed in college. Would he? Really? Maybe you're just a fan that wants him to stay. Maybe that's why you're saying these things. Of course you are. Just like Reds. They don't want Castellanos to leave. Why would you want him to leave? He's a great player, especially this year. But don't sit there and say He's found a home in Cincinnati. He can find a home anywhere, especially if he gets paid more than he's getting paid here in Cincinnati. And you've heard them all before, and you'll hear them again, these cliches. But sports is a business, and it's about making money. Not some feel-good story about playing for your favorite team or your hometown team. Want an example? Just ask Ken Griffey Jr. how his little return to Cincinnati went. How many people today associate Griffey with the Reds? Nope. He's a Seattle Mariner. Go look at the Hall of Fame. What hat's he wearing? Seattle Mariners. If you're one of those people that think Castellanos will stick around this franchise after this season, you probably also believe in unicorns and pots of gold at the end of rainbows and where's the beef commercials. So unless Castellanos slumps horribly, which I don't think he can slump horribly enough, or has an almost fatal injury, you're seeing the final days of Nick Castellanos as a Red this season. Whether he stays the entire year or is traded before the trade deadline. So enjoy him while he can, Reds Nation. Jesse Winker, another story. A man who, when you watch him run, he looks like he's got the old proverbial piano on his back. And although he's slumped a little bit lately, Winker is still among the National League leaders in many offensive categories. But unlike Castellanos, the Reds have control of Winker for the next two seasons, no matter what. Both Winker and Castellanos are the starting outfielders for the All-Star game this year, for the National League. Did you have that before the season? Uh-huh. Sure you did. But it brings up one question. How does a team with 67% of their outfield starting the All-Star game, how does this team only sit at 41-40 on the season? Uh-huh. We're about to get to that. Earlier this season, we compared this group to the old Spawn, Sane, and Pray for Rain lineup from eons ago. Decades. Centuries ago, almost. We were going to market that, but we couldn't think of a word that rhymed with Castellanos. But outside of their two all-star starters, the Reds are full of underachievers and just average guys. The only other guy who has been valuable this season, all season, has been Jonathan India, a rookie starter from opening day who struggled early, hitting 219 on May the 19th. Say that five times. And he looked like he was packing his bags and heading to AAA. But since May the 20th, Jonathan India hitting 307 and has been promoted to the leadoff spot in the lineup. So he has been a pleasant surprise, especially in the last 6 weeks or so. So there you go. There's your value. Jonathan India, your two all-stars. That's just wonderful. So again, why is this team 41-40? Oh, we've gone over a lot of these reasons so far this season. Of course, reason number one, a guy we've been on all season, Eugenio Suarez. Mid-season report card, F on this guy. Failure. Here's a guy who was telling the media back in spring training he was going to hit 50 home runs this season. And look out, George Foster, and your 52 home runs from 1977, because that one is on the table to be broken. Uh-huh. Well, he's got 16 home runs right now. And if you've watched him this spring at all, it just looks like he's trying to hit every home run every time he swings. He's trying to hit like a 9-run homer every time. And by doing that, his other numbers have absolutely tanked. A 174 batting average with over 100 strikeouts already on the season. And sure, guys strike out a lot more now than they used to. But this guy's on pace for over 200 strikeouts. And if you believe in the win above replacement stat, the WAR as they say, Suarez's WAR minus 1.2 on the season. So in other words, if they just played an average minor leaguer, they'd have 1.2 more wins on the season. Easily, that number, the worst on the Reds. Oh, by the way, Suarez is making $10.8 million this season for those 100-plus strikeouts. Money well spent, indeed. But hey, he was part of the most lopsided trade in the history of the Reds. Well, the history of the last decade for the Reds. When the Reds sent that bum Alfredo Simon to the Tigers for him. So I guess he has that going for him. So it's not all bad for Eugenio Suarez. Somehow, Alfredo Simon got played out of that. So there you go. But speaking of guys with big salaries and guys that don't get blamed a whole lot for this, probably should. Mike Moustakas has to be accountable for this team not getting better so far in 2021. The Moose is making $14 million this year. And in his two seasons in Cincinnati, this guy has played only 51% of the games that the Reds have played. And when he has played, Moustakas has a .235 batting average in those 51% of the Reds games. But don't worry, Reds fans. You get two more years of this guy guaranteed $34 million total. So while Castellanos could walk at the end of this season, you've locked up Moustakas for the next two. Another genius move by the Reds. With a franchise just known for genius moves. But if you look at the WAR, the win above replacement stat, who's been the best player for the Reds this year? Who's been the most valuable in terms of the analytics? Maybe not the public perception, because we all think that Castellanos and Jesse Winker have been the best players for the Reds this year. Yes, they have. They're number two and three on the team if you look at WAR. But if you look at the analytics, who has been the most valuable player for the Reds this year? Wade Miley. Yeah, it was shocking to me when I looked at it too. Wade Miley. Peripheral stats, normal. 6-4 record, 3.09 ERA. Just a guy. Yes, he has a no-hitter. Everybody remembers the no-hitter. But in this day and age, with what he's given to this team, the number of innings he's given to this team, the number of outs he's gotten, he went on the injured list for a while after his no-hitter as well. But if you look at the WAR, the wins above replacement, Wade Miley is the most valuable player on this team, even more so than Nick Castellanos and Jesse Winker, if you could believe that. So who would the Reds be most in trouble without this year? You can, of course, everybody would say Castellanos and Winker. They're all-star outfielders. But according to the analytics and the numbers, Wade Miley does not get the credit that he deserves. So by the WAR, he's been the guy this year. Conversely, we mentioned it. Eugenio Suarez, minus 1.2. The Reds would have, in theory, that's what all these stats are, theories. In theory, the Reds would have 1.2 more wins this year if Eugenio Suarez was not even on the team. They had just a dummy out there, an average player. Who's got the second worst on the team? Another whipping boy, Amir Garrett. He's only making $1.5 million this year, unlike Eugenio Suarez's $10.8 and Mike Moustakas's $14 million. But Amir Garrett has been just as bad. A guy who walked into the clubhouse this spring training and said, "I'm the closer," and then went out and now currently has an ERA of 7.40 after most of the season his ERA being in the eights and the nines. A recent hot streak, using the term hot streak very loosely, has gotten his ERA under 8. Yes, he has 5 saves, but his ERA plus is 63, meaning he's 37% less than an average pitcher on this season. That's your closer, ladies and gentlemen. But I do have good news for that Reds bullpen. Thanks to a few slugfests at Coors Field, the Reds bullpen no longer the worst in Major League Baseball. They're 29th now. Out of 30. Talk about progress. But if I look at this bullpen individually, what do I have? TJ Antone, now in his second stint on the injured list. Once is an accident, two is a trend, as they always say. It's no coincidence that TJ Antone kind of overused in the April and May when he was the only bullpen guy that the Reds could count on. Now he's injured with the dreaded forearm strains. That could mean anything. That could mean anything. We don't know when he's going to return. Probably was rushed back the last time he returned. He's been easily the best player in the bullpen, the best pitcher in the bullpen by the numbers. Not even close. The rest of these guys have been awful. Lucas Sims, who's also on the injured list, mainly for overuse. His ERA, 5.02. Heath Hembree, who got the save last night. We'll talk about that in just a minute. His ERA, 5.47. You want a guy closing? All your bullpen guys have ERAs over 5. Amir Garrett, 7.40. Ryan Hendricks, 6. Brad Brock, who's 35 years old, but they just brought him in off the streets. At least he's sitting in the bullpen now with a 2.60 ERA, but he hasn't been with the Reds long enough to get infiltrated by the horribleness of that bullpen. Just give him some time. All that stuff from the other guys will rub off on 35-year-old Brad Brock. But if you look at this bullpen, Sean Doolittle, over the entire season, has probably been the best guy who's been there all year. And his ERA, 4.55. The only guy with an ERA plus over 100, and it's 102. The worst bullpen outside of Colorado right now in Major League Baseball has been the Cincinnati Reds. And in today's day and age, you cannot win consistently without a good bullpen. Because starting pitchers do not go more than 6 innings anymore, and only the best go 6. So you have to have a bullpen, especially in today's game. But all that stuff is great. And you look at these starting pitchers, oh, they're just mediocre at best. And we'll get to them in just a second. But who cares about all these numbers you're giving me? What about us? What about degenerate gamblers trying to cash tickets in the desert? Are they cashing us tickets? Talk about a wash. The Reds' 41-40 record might seem like a winning record in real life, but this team has lost you money at the windows if you bet $1 blindly on the Reds every game this season. If you did that right now, you'd be down 23 cents. Talking about just walking around in circles, that's exactly what you're doing. But let's look at this a little closer. Before the season, our friends in the desert said, this is an 81.5 win team. Right now, 41-40. Right on the money. Our friends in the desert, right on the money with that prediction. Interesting, huh? Yeah, very interesting. So as we say, are they winning, living up to expectations? Well, let's look at all these games so far this year. In the Reds' 81 games, the desert has told us that the Reds should have won 46 out of those 81 right now, instead of their current 41-40 standings. In other words, the Reds have been favored 46 times this year. So, if they had lived up to expectations, they'd be 5 games better than they are right now. Huh. Not living up to expectations out in the desert. But, when you're handicapping this team, it's all about location. Cincinnati, on the road this year, 20-20, that's decent. But they've made you a 9.3% return on investment in those road games, winning you $3.62 if you bet them blindly $1 a pop in every road game this season. It's good. But at home, like they are today, the Reds have killed your bankroll. They've gone 21-20 at home, okay, but they're usually favored in a lot of these home games. So they've lost you 9.4% return on investment. In other words, blindly putting $1 a night on the Reds every time they're at home, you would have lost $3.86 for the year. So the home-road splits for this team look very ordinary on paper, but there's a huge difference in this team out in the desert based on where these games are played. The Reds cash tickets on the road, and they have you eating ramen noodles every night at home. And just in case you're interested, we do this stuff on this show. For the record, major league teams that are winning you the most money out in the desert, cashing the most tickets, rule of thumb usually, the leaders in this category are teams that are surprisingly good. And they've won a lot of games as underdogs on the season. So the top 3 teams in the desert so far, you could probably, they make sense what you hear them. San Francisco, Boston, Seattle. All teams that were not highly regarded in March, but it's made you a lot of money this season. And who are the bottom 3 teams cashing tickets in the desert this year? Arizona, Minnesota, Baltimore. Not much expected from Baltimore this year, but Arizona, they weren't supposed to be this bad. Of course, a 24-game road losing streak adds up rather quickly out of the desert. And Minnesota is the biggest disappointment in the major leagues this season, coming off a division title last season. But in terms of starting pitchers for the Reds, who can you count on to cash your tickets out in the desert? Well, there's 3 pitchers for the Reds who have made you a profit this year. Tyler Malley, who's starting today's game. We'll talk about that in just a second. Wade Miley, the war leader on this team, and Jeff Hoffman, who's been MIA for a while. But those three guys have made you money. Conversely, five guys have lost you money. Jose De Leon, Santillan, Vladimir Gutierrez, Sonny Gray, who came back last night, and our old pal, Luis Castillo. When Luis Castillo starts the Reds are 5-12 on the season. And how bad has Castillo been out in the desert? No pitcher in Major League Baseball has lost an investor more money than Castillo. Because if you put $1 on every Castillo start, you're down $7.70 on the season. Negative 45.3 return on investment. That is a lot. Boy, I wish the Reds had someone, anyone, who could cash tickets for them out in the desert. They had a guy. You remember a guy named Anthony Disclafani? They called him Disco. Well, he's with the Giants now. And after the Reds let him walk this offseason, the Giants signed him for the paltry term of $6 million. Well, Mr. Disco has started 16 games for San Francisco, and the Giants are 11-5 in those games for a return on investment of 43.4%. $1 on Disco every night, you would have made $6.94 this season. Huh. Wouldn't this guy look really good starting every 5 days for the Reds right now? Yes, he would. But for now, only three pitchers in Major League Baseball has made more money in the desert than a guy the Reds just told, see you when we see you. Yet another wonderful move by the non-Billy Bean-like front office of the Reds. So if you want an overall grade on this team, both in real world and out in the desert, it's got to be a C. Why? They're average. They're mediocre. They're exactly what the desert said they'd be before the season. And they're almost dead even in terms of turning a profit out in the desert. How average and mediocre can you get? Like anything in life, it's a rare and steady climb. It's not the bar graph that just goes straight up. It's a little peaks and valleys bar graph. But with exactly half the season left, this team still has a chance to do something and cash a lot of tickets this year. But we'll see how management handles this team's potential prosperity. In other words, how they handle Nick Castellanos and what they do with that bullpen. Because without making some moves, this team should continue to play average to the mean. And that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1392.5, bottom line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Coming up after the break, we'll talk about the Reds game today, and we'll also talk about our College of Football handicapping knowledge. Let's look at some of these SEC cupcake games. How do we handicap them? We got college football coming up. It's July now. College football starting up in September. That's all coming up after the break here on ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. Bottom line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. And we will not back down from our take on Rosie Ruiz and Bluegrass 10,000. I saw too many kids, man, getting out of cars and start running. I'm telling you. That's why it took me an hour to get here this morning. Yes, I am a bitter old man in the rocking chair on the lawn yelling at kids. Yes, that's me. Thanks for joining us here on the bottom line this morning. Last night, Great American Ballpark. I went on way too long about Rosie Ruiz this morning. I apologize for that. Last night, Great American Ballpark. Reds 2, Cubs 1. Sonny Gray pitched well in his return from injury. And if the Reds are going to have any hope of making a run in the second half, they need Sonny Gray to be healthy in the second half. Joey Votto, now apparently your cleanup hitter in the latest brilliant lineup move by David Bell. At least he's stuck with India, Winker, and Castellanos' top three. At least he's stuck with them for a nice little period of time. That's helped tremendously. But Votto had a flashback last night to 2017 and had the biggest hit of the game, two RBI double, both runs for the Reds. Don't look now. Joey Votto is turning things around. In his last 20 games, Joey Votto is hitting .293, five home runs, 16 RBIs. Is he back to the good old days? No, because he doesn't walk anymore. I guess he wanted to give up one of the top 20 on-base percentages in the history of baseball. That's what he's done in the last 3 years. I hope he's happy. I guess those $25 million a year will help his disappointment with that. But the last 20 games have been Joey Votto's best for a while now. because he's been just a guy for the last three seasons, according to the numbers. Today at 3:40, a game you can hear right here on ESPN Radio 1300 at 92.5. It's game two of this three-game series between the Cubs and Reds at Great America Ballpark. Reds sitting right now, minus 130 favorite out in the desert. Edward Alzolay for the Cubs, 4-7 on the season, 4.55. Not really sure why he's still in the rotation. Tyler Malley has a 10-run rally for the Reds, 7-3, 3.74 ERA. Alzolay for the Cubs hasn't been a good pitcher, either this year or in his career. His career ERA in 19 starts is exactly the same as his ERA this season, 4.55. Career ERA plus 89. That means he's 11% worse than an average major league pitcher in his time with the Cubs. And lately, he's been even worse. He's been terrible. In his last three starts, Alzolay 0-3, ERA 9.28 in 10 innings. Horrible. The one saving grace for Alzolay today is that he did get a win against the Reds on May 28th when he shut them out over 5 2/3 innings. Hopefully for them, Alzolay will do that again today. But it's not any better in the desert for Alzolay either. Cubs are 8-19 when he starts. Return on investment minus 15.4%. And this season, the Cubs 5-8 when he starts. Return on investment negative 25%. So any way you slice it, analytics, cashing tickets, whatever, Alzolay for the Cubs does not get it done. Tyler Malley for the Reds. We've talked about before. We talked about it last weekend especially. What we talked about came to fruition. Malley's home and road splits are undeniable, and they need to be exploited by those of us playing in the desert. Home stats on the season, 6 games, 6.75 ERA. Road stats on the season, 10 games, 2.01 ERA. The Reds are a respectable 20-20 on the road, but with Tyler Malley taking the hill in 8 of those 20 wins. Can you believe that? Tyler Malley has pitched in 8 of the Reds' 20 road wins this season. Of course, his ERA on the road, 2.01. Pitching great. We will see what happens today at Great America Ballpark, pitching at home where he's not nearly as good. But cashing tickets has not been a Malley strong point in his career at Great America Ballpark. The Reds are 15-18 when Malley starts at home. ROI, minus 10.8%. This season, Malley started 6 games. The Reds have been favored to win all 6 times. And the Reds have only gone 3-3 in those 6 games for a return on investment negative 17.4%. Yuck. But just like Alzolay, Malley did pitch well against the Cubs earlier this season, winning at Wrigley Field on May 30th, shutting out the Cubs for 5 innings. Malley and the Reds, a minus 130 favorite today. The total is 9, if you're so inclined. The Reds basically used their entire bullpen last night, using the term bullpen very loosely, including all three guys who have been used at the back end of games lately since Sims and Antone went down, while the Cubs closer, Craig Kimball, did not go last night. Reds may be favored today, but the Cubs have the value today. If I had to take anyone this game, it'd be the Cubs, mainly due to the high price on the Reds, the bullpen usage, and Malley's obvious home and road splits not being his favor today. If this were a minus 110 line, I'd go on the Reds. But this minus 130, that's way too much tax for us. Cubs have the value today, and that's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. The bottom line with Brad Taylor, sports talk from a handicapping perspective. In case you missed it, we flipped the calendar to July this week. That means college football will be here before you know it. And every Saturday from now until the start of college football season, we will be having our College of Football Handicapping Knowledge each week. Little tidbits from the sports gambling world that you don't hear anywhere else, and you can pick some winners this fall. So welcome to the first class of the football season. This week, the week one college football lines came out, and if you look at the SEC lines, you'll see one great game. Clemson is a -3.5 over Georgia. Ooh, I really want to take Georgia in that one. I got a returning quarterback. Oh, Georgia's got a lot of transfers coming in. Woo, I'd love. If that line stays 3.5, I'll probably take the dogs in that one. There's some really good games in week one. LSU -5 at UCLA. Who knows what to expect from LSU this year? 2 years ago, they had one of the greatest teams of all time. At the end of last year, they only had one player at the end of last year who was one of the 22 starters left from that championship game the year before. They only had one starter left from that championship game at the end of last year. Another decent game. Ole Miss is an 8-point favorite over Louisville. But really, in week one, it's a bunch of cupcake games. There's 8 games where an SEC team is a double-digit favorite over a non-Power 5 team. That includes Kentucky, a 28.5-point favorite over Louisiana Monroe. Seems reasonable, but how do these big SEC favorites do in the desert in these cupcake games? What a good question. The line of demarcation in this case is 30. Since 2005, when an SEC team is playing a cupcake game at home against a non-Power 5 team and they're favored by 30 or more, those cupcake non-Power 5 teams cash tickets for you out in the desert. They cover the spread 57% of the time, going 123 up and 93 down against the spread. Very impressive. But the only time you want to avoid these big underdogs is the opening week of the season. In the first week of the season, these SEC teams, they're ready to grow, and they're steamrolling the cupcakes in the first week because you've had all season to prepare for it. The SEC teams go 21-16 in those first games. So take out the first week of the season. Every week of the season after that, when a non-Power 5 is a 30-point underdog or more at an SEC team, those underdogs hit 60% of the time, 107 up, 72 down. That's very impressive. 60%, no matter how you cut it, that's very impressive. So what you're looking to do is take these big dogs. In the last 16 seasons, non-Power 5s as 30-point-plus underdogs catch a lot of tickets in the desert, but after the first week. So fade the SEC powerhouses when they are huge favorites of 30 or more against non-Power 5s after week one. If you do that, you'll hit 60%. Oh, this doesn't count for teams like Alabama, right? No, wrong. Alabama is 9-20 against the spread when favored by 30 or more at home in these cupcake games after week one. So you would have hit almost 70% going against Alabama in that spot. And what about your beloved Kentucky Wildcats? They cover the big spreads of these cupcake games, right? Wrong again. Kentucky, 1-5 against the spread at home when favored by 30 or more against a non-Power 5 team in week one. And there's a chance Kentucky will be favored by that many later in the season twice when they play home games against Chattanooga and New Mexico State. So there you go. Our tip of the day, our College of Football Handicapping knowledge. Fade the big SEC teams when they're at home laying 30 or more against these little non-Power 5 cupcake teams. But make sure you do it after week one. There's your tip. There's your first class in our football handicapping knowledge of college or whatever we're calling it. Yes, our College of Football Handicapping knowledge. There's your first little tidbit. We'll have these all throughout the summer, both college and pro. We'll have a pro one tomorrow. But coming up after the break, we know why you're here. We'll get you in on the action. It's our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks, presented by Jake's Cigar Bar, the most profitable segment in Lexington Radio. That's coming up after the break right here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. I take great offense to Sean C. putting even the losers on my little music bed here. Is he trying to tell me something? Trying to tell me I'm a loser? Uh-huh. He and I are going to have a little conversation next week. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. And now it's time for the most profitable segment of Lexington Radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks, presented by Jake's Cigar Bar. How do we celebrate cashing tickets out in the desert? With a Mac Daddy Stogie from Jake's Cigar Bar at Brandon Crossing. As they say at Jake's, smoke local, drink local, and cross the line with us. Check them out online, jakescigarbar.com. And when you go there, tell our friends Jake and Autumn that the Bottom Line sent you, and you will get the VIP treatment, I promise you. JakeCigarBar.com. We got NBA basketball tonight. We haven't gotten to it yet because we're rambling about the Bluegrass 10,000 and Rosie Ruiz. If you missed that, make sure to check out our podcast later, WLXG.com. The Atlanta Hawks down in Magic City are 2.5-point home favorites in Saturday's Game 6. They lead, let's see, the Bucks lead 3-2. If you play the old-school zigzag theory, basically the loser of the last game, you've hit 8 out of 9 against the spread so far in the conference finals. But as we always say, And this, the only time we say, take the favorites, watch the money, the NBA playoffs. If you've taken nothing but favorites in the NBA playoffs so far, you're 49-35 against the point spread, return on investment of 14%. And if you're following where the money's going, if you've done that and the favorites with the most money, you've gone 29-19 against the spread during these playoffs. Giannis out. He's probably down at Magic City watching the game tonight. We're headed for a game seven in this one. The Hawks are favored. The Hawks are at home. We got the zigzag theory. We've got the playoff theory. We've got more money on the Hawks, and Giannis isn't even playing. We'll take the Hawks tonight. We're going to have a game seven on Monday. Hawks, the Atlanta Hawks, who always go down and they always fail in this position over time. The last umpteen years that I've been in Atlanta, they win it tonight. Take the favorites. Take the Hawks laying that 2.5 tonight. Major League Baseball today. If you played games yesterday, if you're like us, you had a rough day. You know why? The favorites went 14-0 versus the closing lines in Major League Baseball yesterday. The Brewers won their 10th straight in a win against the Pirates. We told our friend Vince Stover, who's a big Brewers fan, but didn't believe us when we said the Brewers were going to take that division this year. We were like, hey, Vince, go look at this schedule right up until the All-Star break. It's nothing but Pirates and Rockies and Diamondbacks. Uh-huh. That's how you get 10 straight wins when you get a schedule like that. We look at a lot. You think the favorites are going to win all 15 games today? Uh-huh. Good luck with that. You're crazy as we are. A lot of teams have value today. We've got our eyes on three. The wrong team is favored out at Coors Field. The Colorado Rockies, -115 over the Cardinals. I got the better pitcher. Wade LeBlanc is much better than Kyle Freeland. I've got the better team, the Cardinals, although they've underachieved this year. They're behind the Reds. They're 41-42 on the season. But this is the Rockies we're talking about, the Colorado Rockies. Yeah, yeah, they're playing at home, but it's not often when they're playing a team like the Cardinals and they send a pitcher to the mound like Kyle Freeland. This is a spot for the Cardinals. You're getting a lot of value, and our old wrong team favored here. Give us the Cardinals over the Rockies, and we've got two more. These are teams that are getting a lot of value today. Do you want to bet against Clayton Kershaw? 10 years ago, you didn't. Now, you're getting a lot of value. Why? Because his name is Clayton Kershaw. Paolo Espino is pitching for the Nationals today. He's got a 2-2 record, but a 2.02 ERA. The Dodgers are a -219 in this spot. The Nationals aren't a terrible team. And Clayton Kershaw is not exactly Sandy Koufax in his prime. He's not even Clayton Kershaw in his prime, which was about 10 years ago. Getting a lot of value today with the Nationals at home in a nationally televised Fox game tonight. Uh-huh. They'll be ready. Give us the Nationals. Getting big money. You're getting plus 200 plus with the Nationals tonight. And our third game today, give us your tired, your poor, you're weak. Give us the Arizona Diamondbacks sitting at 23-61, the worst team in Major League Baseball, going up against one of the first team to win 50 games this year, the San Francisco Giants. How can we go against the Giants in this spot and go with the Diamondbacks? The Giants are laying -175 in this one. The Giants have used a lot of their bullpen people in the last few days. And, oh, by the way, I think I've got the better pitcher for the D-backs tonight. Jake Faria, 3.38 ERA on the season. Sammy Long for the Giants, 4.95 ERA on the season. Getting a lot of value with the home team. Yeah, they stink. Yeah, they're terrible. Yeah, they're awful. And the Giants have played great. Don't care. Give us the Diamondbacks tonight. Those are our Mac Daddy Stogies. You heard it here first. Take the Hawks as a favorite, and then take three big dogs. Take the Cardinals out in Colorado. Wrong team favored. Give us the Nationals up against Clayton Kershaw, and give us the D-backs, the worst team in the league, against the first team that won 50 this year, the Giants. Easy money, baby. Take those four to the desert and Jake's Cigar Bar and smoke them. Coming up after the break, we'll wrap it up and get you ready for the day on ESPN Radio right here. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. Bottom line with Brad Taylor, sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Coming up today here on ESPN Radio at 3:40, Cubs and Reds, game two of the series from Great America Ballpark. Reds sitting at a -130 favorite right now in this one. Like we said earlier, the Reds are in a better spot as far as just winning the game. But the Cubs have the value out in the desert today. this line was down about 20 bucks, we might be on the Reds. But at 1:30, no way. Cubs are nobody for us in this one. And tonight at 8:30 here on ESPN Radio, Bucks and Hawks live from just outside Magic City in Atlanta. Hawks are minus 2.5 in this one. If I told you 3 months ago that Atlanta would be favored in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals, you would have called me crazy. Heck, if I told you that 1 month ago, you would have called me crazy. But that's the scenario tonight. We will see a Game 7 while the Suns rest up for the winter. And, we'll be on Phoenix in game. If this series, especially if it goes 7, take Phoenix Game 1. I don't care who they play, where they play them. Take Phoenix Game 1, especially if it goes 7. What have we learned on today's show? Rosie Ruiz, a great American. And somebody needs to tell us next time when the Bluegrass 10,000 is run. If it's on the 3rd or the 4th next time. Oh, yeah. And fade the SEC when they're big favorites at home during the regular season. Against the Cupcakes. Thanks again for joining us. We appreciate you listening to The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Early tomorrow morning is an early tea time. Join Matthew Lawrence for Backspin Golf at 8 o'clock. We'll be back, good Lord willing, at 9 o'clock for The Bottom Line. And then the Angelo Carriero Show, at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Make sure to join us then. Remember, you can email us anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter, @bottomlinelex. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.